Bible, friends, is still the Word of God, and still so very, very relevant and needful for this generation, just as others, because without God's Word, without the Bible, a person cannot be saved, a person cannot come to know the true and living God in grace and salvation that is. Oh, we understand that you know that God is. Some people, of course, they live what you would call rather deluded lives. You know, they live with this idea that, you know, that they don't know, or they're absolutely sure that God is not. But I would take God's word over yours any day of the week. And He says that you know that God is, that He has revealed it to you, made it plain to you, and that you even understand it. So you say then, why is it that the multitudes of our nation today do not believe in God? Well, you do believe, but that belief, you see, and that knowledge is suppressed, says God, in unrighteousness. You do not want there to be a God. And of course, you subscribe to the notion that there is no God because your hearts are corrupt because of your sinful natures, minds, and hearts. But of course, it's the Word of God that would bring you out from under that delusion. It's by the Word of God that a person comes, the Bible says, to faith in the Son of God, the one who would bring you to a saving knowledge of God. You see, here's the thing, friends. The proof, you see, is quite simple. It's not rocket science, you know. Your unbelief, your confession of atheism is totally and absolutely unjustifiable. When you live off the back, you see, of the things that God has revealed to you, you know, you live by some ethical standard. We all, do we not, have standards of some kinds. Well, pray tell me, where do you get your ethical standard from? You know, where's the justifiable basis for it? You have a conscience, you see. The word means with knowledge of right and wrong. It's a God-given conscience, you see. Every single person born into this world has one. Not animals, not dogs and cats, not reptiles, but men and women who were originally made in the image of God. They have consciences, you see. They are with knowledge. Knowledge, that is, of right and wrong that God has given to you. But you see, on one breath you say that there is no God, but yet you cling to some kind of ethical standard. Oh, pray tell me why. If there is no God, is it not just survival of the fittest? Are we not all free just to kill and maim and destroy, rape and pillage and steal and do what we will? I mean, why build prisons? Why have courts? Why have policemen? If there is no God, if you truly believe what you subscribe to. But that's my very point, friends. You see, you do not believe what you confess to believe. You know that God is. You know just as well as I do, but you suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. Because your nature is corrupt. Don't talk to me walking away. Come and talk to me. Huh? Come and talk to me. You not got the bottle? Yeah. Repent and believe the gospel, sir. That's what you need. You see, friends, submission, it's not proof, it's not evidence you need that God is. It's a white flag that you need, raised in surrender, in submission to Almighty God. Your atheism, there is no such thing as an atheist. Doesn't exist. There is not one on this planet, friends. Not a one. You all, to a man, to a woman, a child when it's born into this world, before it knows anything else, knows that God is. But you use evolution. You use idolatrous religion, your world religions. Buddhism, Confucianism, Hinduism, Roman Catholicism, Islam. You use these world religions, another means by which you suppress the truth of the knowledge of the true and living God, who has given us His revelation in His Word in the Bible. You see, without the Bible, without God's Word, without God's revelation, you cannot be saved. Here is the necessary knowledge, you see, by which you can be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why we come and declare the Word of God to you? That you might come to the conviction, you see? Conviction of your sin, of your need of salvation, and that you might be converted, that you might be turned to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The only way, the only one by whom a person can be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No man comes to the Father but by me. No other name, says the Bible, under the entire canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. Name, God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior. So you'd like a copy of God's Word? Peruse, meditate, study. See that these things are so, it's offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But were you to read God's Word for yourself, make a study of it, well, you could find these words, this question that God poses for you in His Word, the Bible. Can an Ethiopian, black man that is, can an Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to do evil. You see, friends, the Bible points to the impossibility, in fact, the cross of my Savior Jesus Christ declares, you see, plainly and simply, you see, that all men are sinners. All men are separated from God at birth and unable to save, an impossibility that they can save, rectify themselves from the state and condition that they're in as a result of sin. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? You say, no, of course not. That's his natural state and condition. It's made that way. It's got spots. You can't change it. It would take a miracle to do that. Of course it would. And so how can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, says God, do good? That too is an impossibility. Because it's your natural state and condition, in which you're conceived, in which you're born, says God. In sin, that is. But of course, you know, it's only in hearing God's Word, it's only in considering what God has to say to you, you know, that your incorrigible state and condition can possibly ever be changed, you see. But the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, presents you with the possibility of change. Because, well, again, as God's Word says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. You're a Christian, sir?
Yes.
Yeah, you are? Oh, good. Is that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, thank you very much. Hey, can we, if I put them down here, we'll have them afterwards, yeah? Yeah, thank you. That's very kind of you, sir. Thank you very much.
It's all right, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you worship locally?
No, I'm in
the
army, so...
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Right, soldier, eh?
Yeah.
And a soldier for Christ.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's good to meet you, brother.
It's all right.
Yeah,
sir.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm from Nepal.
Okay, yeah, Nepal, yeah.
When I was there, I used to do PT.
Did you?
Different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes do it, so
right.
It's like it helps you.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you got some time, like? You here for a while? Do you want to give out some tracts?
Sorry, what?
Do you want to give out some leaflets?
Yeah.
Have you got some time?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you can if you want, like, yeah. Well, talk to my buddy over there, look.
Okay.
Yeah. I see the gospel, friends, presents us with the possibility of change, you see? And no matter, you know, the depth, the darkness, the danger of your sin, however long that you've been at it, you know, that the one thing that keeps you from God's kingdom, that keeps you from, you know, the necessary change and transformation is your unbelief. It's that keeps you from God's kingdom and nothing else. But of course, the impossibility, humanly speaking, that is, of you changing yourself is made clear in this question. Can the leopard change his spots? No, you see, it's impossible. That's its natural state and condition. Well, in your nature, your natural born state and condition, this too is an impossibility for you. For the Bible says, you know, that you're not just born, you're conceived in sin. You come from your mother's womb with your fist in your maker's face in rebellion, in iniquity. We are all of us born that way. We inherit a sinful nature. That's why Jesus Christ says that a man must be born again in order to see, to perceive, to understand the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. You see, it takes a miracle from God. It's not just a matter of somebody becoming religious. Anybody can be religious. You just go to the synagogue, the mosque, the temple, whatever you like. They'll make you religious. You don't need my help. You don't need God's help for that. Anybody can do that. But in order for your nature to be changed, that takes a miracle from God. That takes a supernatural act of God to put the life of God into your soul, to put the love of God into your heart. Only God Himself can do that for you. You must be born again. Jesus says so. No other way that a man or woman can enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot change yourself. And the world is diseased, you know. And set against God, you know, the practices, sinful habits that you're accustomed to, you know, with no mind, no desire to obey God. None of us have, you know, unless it's given to us. No desire for God, no desire for His Word, no desire for holiness. Desires for the very opposite, ungodly to a man, to a woman. So what does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be contrary to God in your nature and contrary to God in your practice. But no one ever desired God. No one ever desired holiness, the Word of God, the salvation of God. Till God changed their hearts, until they were born again, until God took the heart of stone out of them and gave them a heart of flesh. You see, it's a work of God, friends. Not just a matter of religion. I mean, think of the powerful habits, you know, of evil that people have gotten themselves into. You know, practice, they say practice makes perfect, but practice of your evil habits that you're accustomed to, you know, it forges a change and it binds you to evil. Many people are there, you know, fighting addictions in our society, in our world today. Try all kinds of means. Try to break the chains that bind you, but you can't. Friends, the truth of the matter is you can't overcome one single sin of yourself, of your own, and by your own power. Without me, Jesus says, you can't do anything good at all. How can you who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you possibly do good? You cannot. Not unless God changes your heart. Not unless God comes and circumcises your heart. You must be born again. But of course, there is implied in these words, there is the possibility, you know, of hope, implied hope, because everything is possible with God. The power of God's Spirit to change a man or woman's heart. When Jesus talks about being born again, he's not talking about, you know, being born again naturally a second time. The man who is speaking those words to in the first instance, he was a religious man, a very, very religious man, a teacher of religion in Israel. And he couldn't understand it. He said, what do you mean? How can a man return to his mother's womb and be born over again? That's impossible. Not what Jesus meant. He meant being born again spiritually. Born again from above. Born again of God's Spirit. The nature changed. The heart changed. The will changed. The desires changed. Friends, only God by His Spirit can bring about such a change as that. But this is the purpose of the Gospel. The hope of the Gospel, friends. Jesus Christ came into the world, lived and died to make this a possibility for men and women. Power still lies in the Gospel. It's still God's power for salvation to all who believe. Not to all who are religious, not to all who are morally upright, so-called, but friends, to all who believe. It's faith, you see, in Jesus Christ and the Son of God. No flesh shall ever be justified, says God, in my sight by their works. Religious or otherwise, it matters not. Your works of charity, or you claim maybe to be a good person. I ask people, I say, you know, are you going to go to heaven when you die? You know, when you leave this world? And they say, well, I hope so. These are unbelievers. These are people who don't subscribe to, you know, to the Christian gospel. But they say, yeah, well, I hope so. I think so. Not quite sure, you know. But I say, well, why should God allow you into heaven? And they say, well, because I'm a good person. I say, really? How many lies have you told? And the smile comes across the face, you know. And I say, you ever lusted after the opposite sex? You've already committed adultery in your heart, says Jesus. No liar and nothing unclean will ever enter my heaven, says God. You ever stolen anything, big or small? It's of no account. Friends, no thief will ever enter into God's kingdom. So you see, there goes your perceived goodness. You're a good person, but you're a liar, you're a thief, you're an adulterer. How can you possibly be accepted of God and accepted into heaven? Jesus says only God is good. Bible says there's none good. Not a single one from God's perspective. There might be some kind of human goodness there, but not from God's point of view. None good, says God. No, not a one. None righteous. Altogether become unprofitable. Out of the way, none. None who seeks after God. You wouldn't even be thinking about God if I weren't here talking to you about Him. See, friends, unless God was to seek you, find you, and save you, well, you would never get right with God. Now, there's none good, friends, and not your good deeds, your good works, your works of charity, your religiosity, none of that will ever put you right with God. Only through faith in the Son of God, who loves sinners, who came, lived and loved and died, and rose again from the dead in order that you might be justified. Person can only be justified by faith. Faith alone, friends. To justify a person, justify somebody, is to make them right. Make them right with God. You see, justify them before God. How do you make them right? How do you settle the account? How do you reconcile them to God? Well, through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for sinners. Christ has made peace by the blood of His cross, the Bible says. That peace has been made. The work has been done. Not your work, the work of the Son of God. He has done it. It's finished. Cried from the cross, it is finished. Done. But that peace has to be received. It has to be voluntarily. It has to be willingly, consciously, deliberately received by you in the reception of the Son of God. Came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But to as many as did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right, He gave the power to become children of God. Because you don't become a child of God simply because God created you. You become a child of God by faith and by faith alone. You get justified, you get right with God by faith and by faith alone. No other way. Friends, what could you possibly offer to God? What could I offer to God that would be acceptable to Him? When all you are is just a lump of walking, breathing, talking sin. Everything about us is sinful. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes. Every word that you speak, every thought that you think, every word, every action, all tainted with sin. So everything and anything that you would bring to God in the way of an offering is unacceptable to Him. Your righteousness, as He says, they're like filthy rags in the sight of God. Friends, there's none of us got anything to offer. Nothing at all. The Son of God had to leave heaven's glory. He had to step down into this world and become a man, live and love, and die at the hands of cruel and wicked men, and shed His blood for sin, that your sin might be atoned for, that you might be washed and made clean, acceptable to God only through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, no other way. I am the way, says Jesus, and no one comes to the Father, no one gets right with God, that is, but by Him, by me, He says. So you see, friends, the gospel is your only hope. Gospel's the hope of the nations, the hope of any man, woman. Sin's a universal problem. That is not where you go. You can change your geographical location. That won't make any difference. You know, you say, well, I'll emigrate. I'll go to Australia. Life will be better there. No, it won't just be the same because you take your sin with you. And you find another bunch of sinners there. Sin's pandemic. It's universal. The West, the East, the North, the South. Matters not where you go. Sin is a universal problem. But the Gospel's a universal answer to the sin problem. Son of God came into the world to die for sinners. Of all shapes, varieties. Matters not what your color, your creed, your background, religion that you were brought up with. matters not. Your need is the gospel, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came and lived and died in order that you might be washed, that the blackness of your sin might be washed away. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You say, how possible? Because Jesus died, shed his blood for sinners. The hymn writer, he asks the question, what will wash away my stain? He answers, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Faith in the Son of God, that's what's required of you. That's what's commanded of you. Repent and believe the gospel, says Jesus. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And the only way that a person can enter God's kingdom is in the way of faith, believing, repenting and believing. Both go together, like Siamese twins, you can't separate them. No, separate them, it brings death to the gospel, that is. Repentance is always towards faith. A believing repentance. No one ever repented who didn't believe, and no one ever believed who didn't repent. Repentance is a necessity to turn from your sin. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's repentance. Forsaking your way, because your way is wrong. Your way is the way that leads to death. May seem right to you, the Bible says, but the end of it is death. Repentance, forsaking your way and forsaking your thoughts, because your thoughts are wrong. Your thinking's wrong. You need to be saved. You need to be saved from what? You need to be saved from your wrong thinking, your wrong-headedness to begin with, foolishness, foolish notions of philosophies of men, evolution, nonsense, unjust, totally unjustifiable, not a whit of justification for it, none whatsoever. But the one philosophy of men that has sunk this nation of yours into the depths of unbelief and wickedness. Evolution, yeah. Scientific, science, you say. How can you do science by evolution? Evolution tells you you live in a changing universe. It's always in a state of flux. If that's the case, then pray tell me how you can do science in such a universe. The universe is stable. That's why you can do science. The universe is stable. Why? Because God has embedded in the universe that he created the laws of nature. How do you get laws out of a material, natural universe? Impossible. Laws come from an intelligent mind. Knowledge. You don't even have a justifiable basis for knowledge in evolution. Where do you get the knowledge from? Huh? Out of the same magical bang that brought the matter into being? You don't get knowledge out of matter. If all you live in is a natural material universe, you have no knowledge, none whatsoever. But you have knowledge. You do science, you do philosophy, you do mathematics. You do all these things because you have all these laws embedded in the universe that God created, that came out of an intelligent mind. I tell you, there is nothing so unintelligent as someone who believes in evolution. Little wonder that they believe that they came from monkeys. They've been told and told, indoctrinated with that, until they begin to behave like monkeys themselves. hardly surprising. No, no, friends, there is no basis, none whatsoever, for evolution. It's just another means by which men have taken one of their own philosophies, nothing scientific about it. Evolution was never scientific to begin with. It was a philosophy of man. Yeah, and it's still just a philosophy. It's all it is. And science is just simply a conceptual tool. That's all. It doesn't prove anything. It doesn't give you the truth. Only the Bible, only God's revelation gives you that. In Jesus Christ, the Bible says, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is He who has revealed knowledge to mankind, without which you couldn't do any of the things that you do. Science, mathematics, philosophy, and all the rest of it. Now, friends, no basis for knowledge. You don't even have a basis, a justifiable basis for a meaningful thought in evolution. It's unbelief. That's all it is. Unjustifiable unbelief. But here's the thing, friends. You take hold of that. You run with it. The evolution business. You continue to suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in your wickedness. And here's what God does. He says, okay, you don't want my power. You don't want my love. You don't want my blessings. You don't want my relationship. I'll open the door. And he gives you a shove, you know. He shoves you through the door. And he says, I'll give you over to another power. You don't want my power? I'll give you over to the power of self. And I tell you, friends, the worst thing that can happen to any human being on this planet, friends, is to be given over to the power of self, the God of self. Ah, dear friends, repent and believe the gospel.
Fuck off, why don't you?
Let me call the police.
Oh my God. You don't know fuck all about God, you don't, mate.
What are you getting angry for, sir?
You don't know gay fuck all about God.
Why are you getting angry for,
sir? Why hasn't God fucking done
it? Why are you getting angry, sir?
Why hasn't God?
Why are you getting angry, sir?
Why hasn't God?
Why are you getting angry, sir?
You fucking shut up.
Why are you angry, sir? Why are you angry, sir?
You fucking don't know fuck all about God, mate.
Why are you angry?
Fuck all about God.
Why are you angry, sir?
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Why are you angry, sir? Why are you angry, sir? Why are you angry, sir?
Why are you?
That's terrible language, sir.
Terrible.
That's terrible language, sir.
Why are you?
You need to repent and believe the gospel.
You don't need fucking fuck.
You need to repent and believe the gospel, sir.
Very good.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So as I was saying, friends, you see, the matter is proved, you know. Here's the thing, friends, you know. You all believe in Santa Claus, yeah? I don't, you know? I don't, but when you start talking about him, I don't get angry, I don't get bent out of shape, you know, because I know he doesn't exist. But here you are, you know? We talk to you about God, we talk to you about your sin, we talk to you about the gospel, you know, and you start getting angry, you know? I mean, you know, where's the logic in that? Pray tell me, you know? Repent, believe the gospel, sir. Repent, believe the gospel, sir. Repent, believe the gospel. That's the answer, you know. That's the answer to the hatred of man's heart. That's the answer, you know, to the hostility. That's the answer to all the violence, you know. The sin problem. It's not going to go away, friends. It's not going to go away. The world's not going to get better by politics. It's not going to get better, friends, only by the gospel.
Yeah,
only the good news. Transformed sinners. Make a new person in Jesus Christ.
You're on knees, are you, in Jesus Christ, are you? You don't need nothing like God.
You're on drugs, sir. You're on drugs.
You are?
You. Why are you angry, sir? Why are you angry? Why are you angry? Why are you angry? What are you angry for? Well, what would he do for you, sir, if you would believe? It's because you don't believe.
Which is what he's on the
Listen, listen.
Now, let me tell you something now.
Let me speak.
Well, let me tell you something.
Okay,
now.
Go on. I'll listen to you. You listen to me.
Okay, what you okay? done in your bad time?
What I was until
you
age.
Were kid.
Until I was 36 years of age, I was a drunkard. I was an adulterer. I was a filthy man. Jesus Christ saved me. Jesus Christ saved me. Yeah, he saved me. He changed me. Because you haven't believed, sir. Because you have only.
I believe all my fucking life, mate.
Don't swear.
I believe all my life.
Don't swear. Don't swear.
I believe all my fucking life and fucking my God.
Well, I tell you, sir.
Swearing, isn't it?
Hey, you have a good day. Don't be upset. Yeah. Don't be upset.
Good stuff, honestly.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate what you're doing.
Okay, thanks
very
much.
What you're doing is very good and of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. And you too.
I wasn't having a go at you anyway, mate.
Excuse me. I've got
this for you. There you go. Look at that. That's very kind of you, madam. Ah, you lot. See? Yeah, God's given you something good. God's done something good for you. Well, God works through people. God works through people, you know.
Right, you see me in the next life anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll see you on the judgment day, you know, but I hope I'll see you in heaven, sir.
I mean
all I'm here to do is to tell you about the love of God and Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
I mean what's to get angry about in that?
No, it's sort of people pissing you off, not you.
Okay, I get that. No worries. I don't hold it against you. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. You have a good day, eh? You have a good day, friend. That's all right. It's no problem. No problem. Forgiven and forgotten. So, like I was saying, friend, you know, it's the possibility, you know, of forgiveness, you know. The one thing you see that we all need, friends, you know, every single one of us is forgiveness. This is the heart of the gospel, you know, forgiveness. You know, reconciliation with God. You need the forgiveness, you know, your husband, your wife, your siblings, whatever. But more than anything else, you need forgiveness from God because we've all of us sinned and come short of His glory. And friends, the only way to forgiveness is through the gospel. In the Old Testament, the Bible, Prophet Moses says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Now here's a problem with your world religions. All of them, every single one of them, there is no blood sacrifice. Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, there is no blood sacrifice. Therefore, there is no forgiveness of sins. But God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice. His own Son in the New Testament referred to as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, friends, forgiveness is a possibility. And only Jesus Christ can grant you that forgiveness. The Son of Man alone has authority, He says, to say to you, your sins are forgiven. And forgiveness, friends, is unforgiveness, is to come to death in an unforgiven state and condition. That's what puts the fear into death. Because death, friends, will take you into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God, who will dispatch you to a lost eternity if you have not been forgiven, if you have not been born again, if you have not repented of your sin, if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, peace with God is a possibility for you even today. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding is a possibility because Jesus Christ has come and lived and died, shed His blood that forgiveness, that atonement might be yours. Ah, dear friends, it's the love of God. It's the old story. Jesus and His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Doesn't have to. Already condemned every single one of us. Why? Because we have not. Because you have not believed in the name of God's only Son. That's why it's unbelief. Unbelief, friends. And the fruit of it is all around you. The manifestation of wickedness the world over in your own society. The Far East, the Middle East, and the West, everywhere. Manifestation of wickedness in the midst of the human race. It's the fruit of unbelief. That's what it is. Because if you were to believe, if you were to believe, if you were to receive the grace of God in Jesus Christ, I tell you, it would transform you, change you from the inside out, from the heart outwards, making you a new person in God's Son, Jesus Christ. So the gospel, friends, the gospel. And it's found in the Bible, in the Word of God, the record. It's God's testimony. You say it's not true, you call God a liar. It's His testimony. It's written down. It's offered to you here this afternoon, the Word of God. Complete New Testament offered to you freely. Without charge, without cost or obligation to you. Yours take and do with as you will. But you say the gospel's not true. You say what I say to you is a myth, is a fairy tale. You call God a liar because this is His testimony, proven testimony, historically proven, every which way, proven, demonstrated, evidence to be what it is, the gospel, the truth of God, the power of God for salvation. Many thousands, if not millions of people in the last 2,000 years have been saved, have been transformed. I heard the testimony of a young woman last evening, United States of America. She was a lesbian. She never thought it was possible she could be changed from that. But she was. She was by the power of the gospel. Oh, friends, it's dynamite, I tell you, it's powerful. Blow you out of your sinful nature and into the kingdom of God, into His righteousness. Men and women down through the ages have put their trust in the Son of God and Jesus Christ and found the gospel to be just exactly what God testifies it to be. Power for salvation. And the only thing that keeps you from it is unbelief. If only you would believe. Repent and believe the gospel, says Jesus. First recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God's at hand. That's why. Repent, Stafford. Repent and believe the gospel.